Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome back to the What We Said podcast. I'm Chelsea.
And I'm JC.
And today we got a guest and a story for you guys. Okay, so stay tuned, stay listening, stay present. Okay, because today we have Miss Abby Gustafson on, Miss newly Abby Gustafson on the pod. Abby, what's up?
Yeah, not Mrs. Miss now. Hello, Miss Abby. How are you?
Hello, I'm actually doing pretty good.
It has been a minute since you've been on the podcast.
Literally 4 years. You were 12?
Yeah.
First time we were talking about your anxiety, and now we will be talking about a new subject.
Yeah. Your heightened anxiety.
You guys, we're at a point where we can joke and laugh. Actually, yes. I feel like you've been there the whole time, but
that's how I cope.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I think humor is the best way to cope with things.
Yes. Abby has had to reel it back on me and some people sometimes when we take the jokes too far. She'll be like, okay, guys, that's actually not funny.
Yeah. Can we tell the listeners before we get into everything just what happened? And then we'll dive in. But yes. If they're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, briefly. Abby, I'm telling you guys, like, I'm always like, people don't care. They don't know on social media. And then after our confessions where they're like, I will literally like go to the Facebook page of the dance class you go to see like who you're following and the photos of like your new boyfriend. People know because I get messages all the time. Like, is Abby still married? Like, did Abby, you know, because Abby's wedding cake was a big thing.
A big story.
On the story. Yeah, it's one of the most infamous stories on our like wedding disaster ones. And I got rid of the highlight.
You know that wedding cake was a bad sign.
Yeah.
That was it was a bad omen. We should have known something was off.
That was not the only disaster that day, apparently. So
Yeah. But anyways. We'll get into the answering the question of yes, she's no longer married.
Yes, I'm no longer married.
Yes. Abby has lots of life updates for us since the last time we talked. She just moved to California. She's so close to us. She just joined our little
group. Clan.
Yeah, our little clique here. How are you liking it, Abby?
I love it. The coming from Arizona summer of 115 every day all day to like 70 degrees all day is like
70 and sunny.
Everyone is nice here because the weather.
Because they're happy.
Like, yes. If it was like that in Arizona, everyone would be like, oh, how are you doing today? You look great. Oh, your baby's so cute.
Mm-hmm.
Here, everyone's like that. Arizona, everyone's like, do not talk to me. It is 115. I'm like, sweaty. I'm trying to get in my car. Yeah. It is a world of difference. It's like a utopia.
Why don't you start us back at the beginning?
Yeah, now I'm thinking, like, how am I supposed to just dive into this?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Anyways. Well, how
one day.
How long were you married?
Like 2.5 years.
Okay.
So quite a while. It's not like, you know, 5 months and it's like, oh, this isn't it. It's
right.
Like 2.5 years.
And how long did you guys date before you got married?
Like a year.
That's pretty long in Mormon terms.
Yeah, actually is.
Compared to like other, I don't know, Mormons.
Literally me.
Yeah, I'm like, other random Mormons.
Me too.
No, it's true. I feel like that's a pretty long time to be with someone. Just when you think about it overall, it's like years out of your life.
And you were on and off. Like, you were dating for a year.
No, we were dating full on.
So, like 2 years into it, right? So this was like, I just remember this because it was like right after I had Case. Why don't you just start on the fateful day? Pretty much that things just started to, and we'll catch up from there, you know?
Sure. So I was living a normal life, you know? Living in a nice, cute little apartment. I don't think I was streaming at this point, but I was playing lots of video games. I was working. I was honestly, like, I was really good. I still had typical anxiety, but it wasn't a problem. It was very manageable. Like, I had a lot of tools I already used.
You had a dog.
I had a dog.
Abby's gotten a dog.
Yeah, it was a normal life. Take Rudy on a walk in the morning, like with my husband. We'd go on a run or something with him. And then I'd get home, I'd work.
Which you still have the dog, by the way. We say had, but we still have the dog.
Yeah. And then I'd play video games at night and then listen to podcasts. There's a normal life. And then one day, this is where it all began. No, actually, the thing is I've never been shy about like having anxiety, you know, a generalized anxiety disorder. I know I have it. I'm not ashamed of it like I used to be, but... And I was very transparent with my ex-husband that I had anxiety. Like, he saw me have panic attacks.
From the start, right?
Yeah, when we were dating. Like, I did not beg this man to marry me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like he knew what he was getting into.
And didn't act like your anxiety was that big of a deal, did he? No. Was he ever like, I'm so worried about it?
No, not really. He was, like, just kind of there. Like, I mean, to be honest, retrospect, like, looking back, he wasn't that comforting in the sense of being, like not trying to... Like, I wish he would try to fix it more so than he did, instead of just being like, just kind of being quiet until it was over. And then, you know, back till it was normal. And then it was like normal again.
Mm. Just like, oh, we'll get past this, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And anyway, so one day, so to get an idea of what my ex-husband did is I'm sorry to say this, but I hate chiropractors. I hate all chiropractors.
Seriously, same. Sorry if your dad also,
our
or
family
someone
has
is a
trouble
chiropractor.
With chiropractors now. Yeah. So it's just, anyways, he was an assistant to a chiropractor and they had like CBD gummies, CBD.
Everyone that has
stuff.
Done something bad to our family is a chiropractor.
No, I'm not kidding. I act like if you're a chiropractor,
stay away.
Stay away from us. Stay away from me. Stay away from us.
Yeah.
Stay away from everyone.
Never mess with the family.
Yeah. But they had CBD gummies. Specifically, it was like a Delta 8 gummy, which I guess is like a step down from THC, but a step up from CBD. But it's like normal. They give it out to everyone who comes in the doors type of thing. You can buy it. It's not like you have to have a license, right? Or anything to use it. But, and so my husband would come home with like little bags of it, which sounds kind of sketchy now. Yeah. Like they're really powdery.
Oh my gosh.
I took a full one, which the thing I didn't even think anything of it. So I'm like, oh, it's just CBD. Everyone takes it. But I'd usually only took like a quarter when I took it. And I didn't feel a difference. Like I talked about it last time, my whole life. But an hour into after taking it. And so I took it. Okay, timeline. I took it. My husband left for work. And I was on my computer working.
At home.
At home.
By yourself.
Like in my office. Yeah. My dog was there. But yeah, I was home alone. And all of a sudden, I just had like... the only way to describe it is I just very heavily disassociated and I felt like I was having a stroke. Like I couldn't think. It was like major brain fog, immediate anxiety loop where it's like, oh my gosh, I feel weird. Oh my gosh, why do I feel weird? Oh, can I even think? Oh my gosh, I can't think. Oh my gosh, am I even sure? It's like that's just how anxiety works. Like it's like, have you seen those TikToks where they're talking about intrusive thoughts and it's like one thing leads to the... It's like, oh, my skin feels weird. And then it's like, oh, my gosh. And then it ends with like something crazy that they like think they're burning alive or something.
Yeah.
It's like that kind of irrational thinking. And anyway, that's triggered just a major panic attack. I legitimately thought I was having a stroke. I was like, I was looking in the mirror, like trying to smile and I couldn't, like I was freaking out. Because you know how they say it's like.
Yeah.
It's like just irrational thinking. And so I called 911 because I was alone. I was like, I'm going to die. I was literally walking around. Trying to stay alive because I thought I was dying. I was walking around.
Because you've had panic attacks that feel like a heart attack, and this one felt like a stroke. So yeah. You're like, okay, this must actually be a stroke. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's the thing. Sometimes anxiety will manifest in different ways where it's like, mine's usually my stomach or like my heart, but I've never had it in my head like that. But I think it's just the gummy that I took. Some people can have like actual psychoactive reactions, which is not obviously not a good thing. And that can trigger psychosis, that can trigger schizophrenia if you have that already in your brain.
Mm, like if it opens it up.
Yes, it like kind of turns on the light switch. Awesome. So yeah, that happened. The ambulance came. I was surrounded by a bunch of big, like burly 40-year-old dudes asking me if I was okay, taking my heart rate, you know, like asking me questions. I was like, I'm dying. I literally was like, I'm having an out-of-body experience. And
when they got there, were you still like, were you like, okay, I'm fine now? Or were you
it was worse. Because when they came, when you have to call an ambulance for yourself, I was sobbing on the phone being like, I think I'm dying. I need someone to come help me. Like, I'm having a stroke. And obviously, if you're having a stroke, you will not be able to say that. But that's just how rational, like.
Yeah.
It's like your rational brain just turns off completely. And yeah, when they got there, it was like, made it way worse because now I have all these people in my apartment. My dog's barking at them. I'm trying to get him in the room, but I also don't want to get up. It's like, anyways, they eventually, obviously, I was fine. And they were just like, well, do you have a history of panic attacks? And I was like, yeah, but this is different. Like this, I've never felt like this before. And then, so that's just a brief summary of that day for me.
Did they take you anywhere or you didn't end up going anywhere?
No, they're like, okay, we can take you to the hospital. You'll have to pay, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, like, I do think this is a panic attack. I'll just
call. You're like, do I have to pay $30,000 to get a ride to the hospital? Yeah, so I will just
die happy in my home. But yeah, I think I called my mom. I called, eventually my older brother Clay came over. But so that day, though, like since the second I had the panic attack, it's like it unlocked something in my brain is the only way I can describe it. And it was a horrible part of my brain. Like, it was just from that second forward, every second of every day was adrenaline, high anxiety, irrational thoughts. Like, I was so paranoid. Like, things would, it wasn't psychosis, is what, like, because I talked to psychiatrists and therapists and a lot of people about this, but it wasn't psychosis, which, because I knew what reality was, but reality felt very shifted. It was like, it just felt so real. And that, I mean, I went to, this is the part where, here's the thing, I'm still even hesitant. Like, I'm still even hesitant to even talk badly about how he treated me. But, like, he made me feel like I was way crazier than I knew I was. Because, like, all people want is really to be understood, you know? To kind of give it perspective. Of what he was doing while I was literally trying to get out of this hell that inadvertently he caused by giving me that.
Yes, literally he caused. By giving the gummy, you mean?
Yeah, by literally offering me it. So I don't actually blame him for that, but that is another, like, slap in the face that he literally gave that to me, and then it's like he left me because I couldn't get a hold of myself. Anyways, I was the one that was searching for therapists. I was the one that went to psychiatrist appointments, like,
you were trying, like,
I was
so
trying
hard.
So
yeah.
Hard. Because I felt like I was a burden. That's how he made me feel. Sorry, this is, like, the first time I've been, like, really rehashed it since, like, it happened. But, yeah, I booked all my appointments. I'm, like, so proud of what I did because I was, like, I'm not giving up. I would take cold showers. And even though I felt like I was going to die and, like, I was disassociating and I was horrified, like,
and you were, like, actively seeking help, too. I feel like a lot of times, like, you could, when you feel like that, you have every excuse in the book to, like, just lay in bed and do nothing all day and to have, like, you know, I don't know, just not try to get better. You're just, like, addicted to your suffering almost where you're just stuck in it. And I feel like even, I mean, not that I didn't even, like, live there, but from what I would hear from you and mom, it's like you were literally calling new people to try and see, like, what they would say and, like, trying to get, like, you know, try new medications, like anything that would, like, fix it. It's not like you were just sitting around waiting for, like,
it to pass.
Yeah, it to pass.
Yeah, that's something that really pisses me off when I think back to, like, or it takes me off when I think back to how he, one time he said, this was like a month before he just took off and all. I'll get to that part.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Before he packed his bags in the car, I just bought him and left me.
Oh, shiz.
Anyways, he said one time to me in the car, this is after me, I could tell he was, obviously this was a very hard time in our marriage because when one person's struggling, you're both struggling, you know? That's kind of how it honestly should be because that's kind of what you sign up for is you do not abandon that person when they're time of need. And this was not like a self-inflicted thing. And honestly, even then, what I think marriage is just commitment. Like you have to be more committed to the idea of marriage and more than the person almost. Because if you are just like, you can love the person, but if you're not in love with the idea of being married and sticking through the hard times, I just don't think it's going to work. And that's just from my experience because he could have literally smoked so much weed. He could have done shrooms and all of these things. And he could have gotten himself into a really bad place and I would have never left. Like,
yeah.
Because I just think that there's hope in everything and I would have just believed in him and that he would do everything to get better, you know, that kind of a thing. So for me, the fact that.
Well, and you would at least give him a shot more than 3 months.
Yes.
It's like, at least give you some time. Well, also, too, it's like with these things, anytime some, like, especially in relationships, there's always two sides of the story, obviously, yes. But our side is right. But it's like you also are, I don't know, I feel like a lot of people do like shy away from talking about like their experience, how they experience something because of the other person. But at the same time, that happened to you. Yes. Like they, like you had that experience as well. So you are more than
allowed
to talk about what happened to you and what you experienced. And if that included another person and their actions, there's consequences to actions. And so it's not that we're like, oh my gosh, this guy is so horrible. Well, I'm saying that, but maybe not other people, but I'm your sister. So it's like, of course I'm just going to be like, literally goodbye for forever. And like, I will use everything I have too.
I also feel like even though there is two sides to every story and it's like, even, you know, if we are saying, okay, so he gave you 3 months basically from when you're struggling and then it's just like, yeah, bye. It's like, sure, it could have been building for longer, like, you know, maybe like there were previous things or whatever where he was already feeling on edge, but that wasn't communicated.
Yeah.
And that's where I think there's an issue is that, like, you know, in his mind, his story could be like, well, I've been feeling like this for a year. It's like, but if you don't say anything, then.
Yeah. Cool. I literally asked you all the time. Like, here's the thing. Everyone my whole life has always told me I'm really good at communicating. Like what? Communicating at what I need and also what, like, I just want everyone to tell me what they need, you know, so because I'm happy to do that. And I pride myself on being a good communicator. And he, like, I would almost have to, I don't know, it's like he just wouldn't open up. I don't know if he felt insecure. I don't know what it was, but it was like
pulling teeth
trying to get him to open up to me on certain things. And he, I mean, Chelsea can say this, he was very much like a, everything's fine,
agreeable,
everything's perfect, you know, whatever kind of guy. And I'd be like, you do not have to put that front on for me. Like,
right.
I am your wife. Like, you can literally say hate anything. And I would be like, oh, yeah, I love you so much. It's like, you can, it's just, it was so, that's like, really, that is the most frustrating thing is that he never communicated that. So how are we supposed to fix that if, like, I don't even know that that's an issue? And it's not because I'm, like, not attentive, because I was very much attentive. Yeah. Like, I would thank him every single day being like, I know, like, you love me, but thank you for not leaving me. Like, I'm trying so hard.
Yeah.
And, anyways, back to the car. When we were in the car talking about, I asked him to open up to me because I could tell he was kind of getting distant because, you know, full transparency.
But also, again, in your defense, like, you, yes, like, you had anxiety attacks before, but you hadn't had them, like, your whole marriage. No. It wasn't like you had been having anxiety attacks, like, every single day of your marriage, too, leading up to, like, this short amount of time, too. So it's not like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you hadn't had them for, like, what, 2 years? Like, you had them the first couple months.
Yeah, for like a year
and a half. And then for, a year and a half, you didn't have any anxiety attacks or anything like that. And so then it was, like, all of a sudden, you know.
Yeah.
Opened that part up again.
So you could tell he was getting distant.
Yeah, I could tell he was getting distant because it was really hard. I mean, I did get really depressed. I went through 4 different therapists until I found the right one for me. And that's when I discovered that I had obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD. And that was life-changing to find a therapist that had, so the recovery work for that is called exposure response prevention. And basically you just get triggered and then you don't respond by being like.
You show yourself stuff that scares you that like
Like if you're scared of space, you stare at space, like a video of space. And then you just have to sit and be uncomfortable and not try to figure it out or not try to answer any questions of the universe. It's like you're just like, I don't know. And I am OK with that.
Okay.
And so that's basically what it is. But yeah, I discovered I had OCD or I experienced OCD. And so I went to therapy for that. Like I tried three different medications. One of them made me really, really, really depressed, like really depressed. And
you're just like in a time where you're trying to figure
I am doing
it
so
out
many
yeah navigating like, it
I'm journaling, I'm doing so many things, and I the whole time I never wanted to get out of bed. I was horrified. Like I would look at the sky and be like mortified. Like I had a phobia of going out. I had a phobia of so many things, and I was like, what is happening to me? This is not like who I am.
Yeah.
Like, and but I couldn't stop it. It's just like it was impossible to stop. So I read a lot of books. Also, one book in particular is called The Dare Response. That book is like my Bible. I mean, I'm not replacing the Bible, but that's like my anxiety Bible. Like I listen to that still sometimes just to remind myself of some tools that I can use. And yeah, so that's what those months looked like. It looked like taking cold showers, jumping in the freezing cold water, like trying to get out of my depression. And like and looking back, it's because I don't know. I can't say with certainty that I know all of these, like that he caused all of these things in me. But looking back when he was distant and I asked him, like, do you have thoughts of leaving me like that? And if you do, I understand like that you have those thoughts because your brain is associating me with sadness because I am depressed, like, and I am struggling right now. And you guys, it was only like I took that thing in December and he left me in April. That is not a long time to wait for your spouse, your literal spouse that you promised to be with forever, to just be like, oh, she didn't get better for months after something that she didn't ask for and that I gave to her. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we didn't have sex for a month or a couple weeks. And he's like, oh, sorry, I can't do this.
Yeah. Wait, so when did you ask him that in the car?
Like a month before he left, maybe.
So
like
March
weeks.
Or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay, so you asked him and what did he say? He said, yeah, I am.
He said, yeah. And he was like, and I was talking, I was just like basically being like, I just want you to know, like, I'm not mad at you for even thinking that. I'm just like very understanding of why you would feel that. But I'm like, it's also up to you. And again, he did not open up to me originally. I had to pry this out of him.
Yeah.
So that's so frustrating. I feel like a lot of women and men, whoever are in these kinds of relationships, it's like the next person I'm with, I do not want to be their mom. Like I am not their mom anymore with their emotions. Like they have to know.
Yeah.
They have to be confident open. Enough, yes. Be open, like know what they need. He didn't know what he needs. And I'm not saying this, like I genuinely have I'm not mad at him. Like I have, thankfully I have processed. I have processed things, I think, in the best way that I could have. Like, and I just no longer feel any anger in my heart towards him. I had to let that go. And I'm understanding that he couldn't handle it. And that's it. Like, he was honest. He said, I couldn't handle it. And he left. And that's not okay. And that's not good. And that he's not a bad person, but he made a very, very, very bad, selfish decision. Yeah. Like, that's just what it is.
So that was in March that he said, like, yeah, I'm thinking about it. And did he ever say anything, like, again to you about that before he literally did?
No, like it was.
Did you genuinely were like, oh, wait, he might leave? Or were you just like, oh, I'm thankful that he's finally honest. Like, I know he won't leave, but he's just have.
Yes.
He's OK.
It
that's
like
what
that,
you thought.
Because I'm just like, there's just no way that he would like leave me at this time in my life, too.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of frustrating. And I feel like I have a friend who's actually going through something similar. She just went through a divorce as well. And she's saying it doesn't feel good to tell people that you're a divorcee, in the sense, especially when you're young, because you're like, oh, you know, you were just young and dumb and you didn't know what you were doing. And I'm like, that, like, the people think that we had like a loveless marriage. I'm like, no, at least from my end, in the sense of what he showed me, and like, we were together 24/7, like couples are. It's like, we had a lot of fun. We laughed, we joked, we were very romantic. It's like,
well, and
we didn't have
thing.
A loveless marriage. That's what's so confusing
and like, frustrating.
And frustrating for me. Not anymore, but at the time being like, what the F is going on? Like, am I missing something? Did you like, am I the crazy one?
That's why, like, we even when I found all of this out, and like, we'll get into that fateful day, but I was beyond shocked. Like, it wasn't like I was like, oh, I saw this coming. I was like, wait, what? Yeah. Like, I was so shocked.
No,
obviously,
I was
that's
kidding.
Like from the outside, like, you know, outside perspective most of the time. But some, also, I feel like I have a good gut of like, oh, this couple, ooh, and then they break up or like a little bit later. But I would have literally never known. Like, no. I would have been, I would have been. I'm like, I was shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honey, 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 honey. Today's episode is sponsored by PayPal Honey. We're big Honey gals over here. Honey has saved me a lot of money because I'm an online, if there's one thing about me, I'm an online shopper. I do that a lot. I feel like I rarely actually buy things in person. So it's so nice because thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. It's the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. It supports over 30,000 stores online. They have tech, gaming products, popular fashion brands, even food delivery. It's kind of like a no-brainer to download Honey, and it's one of those things where it's just a win-win situation. Like, you don't have to pay anything, and it's going to hopefully help save you money. It has saved me money on big purchases like my TV, my bed frame, and also little purchases like jewelry and clothes here and there. So I'm a big fan.
My mom was talking about this makeup brand the other day, and I was like, you need to get this like eyebrow product. And she was like, oh, okay, do you like have a code for it? And I was like, unfortunately, I do not. She's like, okay, that's fine. I have Honey. And I was like, go off, queen.
Go off, queen.
So this is how it works. Imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites. When you go to checkout, the Honey button drops down, and all you have to do is click apply coupons. You just wait a few seconds as Honey searches for coupons that it can find for that site. And if they find a working coupon, you'll watch the prices drop. Sometimes it's shocking how much the prices drop. You can add Honey to your iPhone too, so you just enable it on Safari and you can find savings on the go. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and you'll be supporting this podcast. We would never recommend something that we don't use. So get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/whatwesaid. That's joinhoney.com/whatwesaid. Go get it today. We're going to take a quick break to talk about Macy's, one of our favorite sponsors of this podcast. I was just listening to this other podcast about how important it is to make your home a sanctuary for yourself, to make your home, you know, feel safe and warm and just, you know, a reflection of you and what you like and something that brings you joy because you spend a lot of your time at your house. So if you're wanting to, you know, give your space a nice refresh, but you're not sure how to make it feel like you, then you need to check out Macy's, okay? So they have soft textures. They got warm wood accents. They can, you know, bring a little countryside into your home if you're into that. They have so many things for apartments as well. If you're like off to school or off making your, you know, own little studio apartment cute and feel like home again,
they have got you covered. I'm literally on the website right now. They also have stuff to create your backyard escape or like patio furniture, which always feels very summery to me. You know, they have like striped decor, glassware, outdoor ovens if you want to do like a pizza moment. They have just cute like pitchers for lemonade, stuff like that. So they've got the little stuff and also the big stuff because they also have full on, you know, like actual furniture or just little accessories. So you can really find a bit of everything. I also have been in my era of making my house feel like a home. I'm not done yet, but it just feels so good to get little things hung on the wall. It just makes it feel so much more homey. So you can get, you know, sage green dinnerware, warm and rustic decor, lush foliage, and cozy blankets and bedding. Head on over to Macy's.com/ownyourstyle. That's Macy's.com/ownyourstyle. Check it out.
Anyways, keep going. So that conversation in the car, the same one where, actually, I think this was, we talked twice basically about it because that's as much as I could get out from him. And again, but I am also struggling so bad with just my own, like, mental, I'm still disassociating all the time. And I'm not saying that lightly to people who are listening who also, like, disassociate. Like, you can ask my therapist. Like, I'm not just saying that lightly. That it was very traumatic for me, like, this whole experience. It's not light for me. And even though I joke around about it, it was, like, that was the darkest. I understand suffering now to, like, the most agonizing.
Intense degree.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I empathize with anyone who has any kind of dissociative disorders or, you know, DP, DR, OCD, like, especially OCD, that is, like, the bane of my existence. And, but I'll get into the hope part of that a little bit. But this is kind of where I was at, where I was, like, I don't want to, like, sorry to, like, trigger anyone, but I didn't want to be here anymore. I was, like, this is not worth it. Like, this is.
Like, if I'm going to feel like this all the time, like, what's the point?
Yes.
Kind of thing.
But I just kept pushing through because I knew I had
like you and like my brothers and my family. And it's like, I just didn't want to hurt anyone. I have such an ugly crying voice.
Everyone does. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Podcasters are very used, or the listeners are very used to it.
So that I'm like so grateful for my family, which I'll get into later too, of like how helpful. Like even you, honestly, on the day that I found out that he cheated, but like Chelsea and Nick, like that whole day, like was the worst day of my life when I found out when he left me. But like my family was my rock through that. And even if I didn't tell anyone what was going on, just like my love for them and just I didn't want to make them feel like I didn't think they were worth living for. And so that is what I just still hold on to sometimes on like hard days. But anyway, so in that conversation, he goes, it's so selfish looking backwards. Like, he was like, yeah, I was like, just, you know, I'm trying so hard. I'm trying so hard not to like have this mental health issue, which is like, I can't even do anything about it other than just try. I didn't ask for it. I don't like it. Like, I don't like the suffering. And he was like, yeah, it's a good thing you are, because if you weren't, I would have left by now.
The hatred in my blood.
Okay. No, not hatred, but like, it's just interesting, like the perspective of you versus like your family. Obviously, it's like when it's your family or their close friend, it's like, we don't have the same, we weren't married to them. So we don't have the same like
relationship.
Yeah.
It's you don't like, have the same love for them. Honestly.
Yeah, exactly. I just see this. So I do. I have like so much. And like me and I have talked about this, Rose. Like, it's like so hard for us to forgive him. Like, yeah. Just so, especially when you see someone you love like going through that and you know it's like, dude, just man up. Or like, why would you do these things to hurt like somebody that I love so much who like, from my perspective, doesn't deserve it in the least bit, like who deserves it?
Like, even, you know, I mean, which I'm sure you think of now, and maybe this is like one of those annoying things that people say when you get divorced, which I can like, there's certain things where it's like when people say this about infertility, you're just like, I've heard that a million times, it's so annoying. So I don't know if this is one of those things, but it feels like even though yes, it was like selfish of him to be like, oh, like I would have left. And like, and the fact that he actually did, it's like, so, you know, you're looking at it when you're in the relationship as like, you're so selfish. Like you said, man up, like what? You're making the worst decision. But in hindsight, it's like you deserved someone who is an open communicator.
Never say that to
who
me.
Would never say that to you, who would never think that of you, who would stick by you through thick and thin because you're going to do the same for them. And so it's like, this is a blessing at the end of the day. Like, even though it sucks and even though you think, you know, in the moment, it's like, what are you doing? It's like, well, I'm glad that this happened.
No, literally.
Yeah,
like,
glad it happened. Hate you for hurting her.
Yeah, ask me 3 months ago, I would have been like, shut up. You don't know anything about Mike. But like now, like, that's how I know that I'm actually on the right path is like, I'm like, I don't have any hatred towards him. Like, but like the inner child, the inner something in me, there are damaged pieces that like it'll come up to like my consciousness and I'll be like, okay, I understand why, you know, those kind of thoughts come up and why you don't feel like you've forgiven him all the way. But then it's like I see him and then I just let them go and I don't attach to him. But like with that specifically, I'm like, I am now very, very grateful. Like I was almost mad at like, because I'm very religious, like I'm in the sense of more just like I love God and I'm grateful that I was created and I have a relationship with him, and I felt betrayed by him because I'm like, why? Like, what is the point of this? Like, why did you do this to me?
Yeah.
Like, it was more like he did it, but I'm like God didn't do it to me. It was literally him.
Like, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like
but he
that
has
took a while
choices.
For me to like kind of disconnect from that. But looking back now, I'm like, I thank God every day for that because I'm like, I don't deserve that. And I don't think my ex-husband's a bad person. I just think he made very selfish decisions and that doesn't change that. But it doesn't mean that we can both now, like, hopefully he actually is going to be a better person after this and realizes he needs to figure a lot of stuff out and needs to figure out what he needs. He needs to figure out a lot of things. And then I want him to like live a good, happy life, you know, and never, ever do this to anyone ever again.
Yeah.
But so back to the timeline of the story. Hopefully this is going to like make sense when people listen to it, because I feel like it's all over the place. So I feel like
that's
hopefully
fine.
They're like,
they're well, no,
yeah, I was going to say, like, they would be confused if you kept to the storyline timeline, honestly.
Okay, good. Yeah, so basically after, I think it was more like in March is where we had these kind of more uncomfortable talks. And I didn't really get a sense that he would actually leave, because I'm like, you have those thoughts. I would probably have those thoughts, because it's like,
yeah,
it's easier to do that. Like, it would be easy to just leave. That's nice that you could just get up and leave my mental health issues. Yeah, you know right. what I mean?
But some of these things that you were doing were helping, though, a little bit, weren't they? Oh, like, it, yeah. You were starting to get a little bit better.
That's the thing. I was about to get to that. Is like, I was...
Sorry.
No, but yes. That's where I was leading to. Is like, this is where it gets... This is where it gets juicy. But I wasn't feeling better. I was handling things better, I guess is a better word for it, because I was still feeling absolutely horrendous.
Learning to cope.
I was learning to cope. I was learning to do it in a healthy way. I found my therapist, my OCD therapist, and like OCD is a very specific way of therapy. Like talk therapy is actually really bad for OCD. Fast forward to around April. Again, I am feeling better. We just went to my friend's
I remember the
wedding.
Day it was my birthday party.
Oh, shiz. I remember as well.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. We just went to my best friend's wedding. I was like her maid of honor. And he was with me. We like had fun. Like but again, I'm not dumb. Like I could tell he was
off.
Like I just could tell you he know. Was disconnected. You know. Like,
yeah. Especially when it's your husband.
Yes. But he was telling me that he was getting like, I'm not going to go into much about his feelings because I don't want to like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't want to expose it, but he was struggling. Obviously we both were, but. Yeah, but I just was like, I just believed that we could get through this if we kept talking. We would check in every day. Like, I was very attentive to him as well. And at least from my side, I don't know, maybe I wasn't enough in that sense, but like, it is what it is. And I tried and whatever. And then I don't remember what day it is. Actually, wait, I do remember. It's April 18th because, wait.
Oh, that's my birthday. It was like April 20th.
April 18th is when he downloaded Bumble.
Yeah.
I'm so silly.
Yeah, on my birthday? Cool. No, it's April 20th.
Yeah, I do remember because it was a Wednesday.
Yeah, me and JC were in a cabana. We were ordering drinks. Swimming.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, so at this point in my recovery, I was feeling good. Like, I wasn't on medication. Sorry, I wasn't on medication at this point because I had tried and none of them were helping. They were just making me worse. So I was like, I'm just going to keep doing really intense therapy. I was going twice a week for like an hour and a half, like, now I'm down to 30 minutes a week.
Woo, we love that.
I was really, really proud of myself. I wasn't spiraling as dark as I would, like, every second of every day. And so I was excited. I was excited to get back to, like, normal, I guess.
Life?
I wouldn't say normal, but just life feeling not horrible. And, yeah, so we went to the wedding. And then the next week, or I think it was 2 weeks later or something, it was a Wednesday afternoon. I went over to my friend Navy's house. So shout out Navy. I was at Navy's house. I was just working. And then he texted me like, hey, I need to talk to you about something. I was like, okay.
When you got that text, I hate
Did your
texts.
Heart drop into your butt?
No, because I was also in work mode. So I'm just like, okay, business. Like, you know, I just wasn't like very
emotionally attached. When someone texts me, I need to talk to you about something, like, oh.
But it's also your husband, so it's like I just didn't think like, oh, this is a breakup. It's like if right. it was my boyfriend, I'd be like, this is over. But it's
right.
like, oh,
yeah,
husband.
Yeah,
so I'm
yeah.
like,
true.
No, I don't know. Maybe he's struggling right now. So I went over back to the house, and I will mention this because I don't want to be petty, but I do want to be specific with what he did. There is only like a 1 hour window in my house where nobody's home.
Well, you were living with your family.
Yes.
I don't know
yeah.
if we've talked about
Sorry,
that.
Sorry, I didn't think I clarified. We were living with my parents at the time. Both my brothers lived there, my older brother, my younger brother, and then us and my parents.
Which was his idea, by the way.
Yes. Sorry. just reminding him that he was the one that was pushing to move there, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if he planned
he
it, but.
He was plotting his escape.
Yeah. Yeah, so we get there, and yeah, there's only a 1 hour window where no one's home except for me. And he came home from work early also, because he was like, hey, I'm home from work. Oh, that's what he said. He said, hey, I'm home from work early. Like, I need to talk to you about something. And I was like, okay. And I got home, And here's the thing. I don't get triggered. Like, I don't get sad anymore. I just, like, feel, eh. Like, just thinking about that just makes me feel yucky. Because it was, like, definitely the worst day of my life by far. But he came down the stairs. Like, he was sweaty, pale. Like, he was, like, breathing really heavy. He looked frantic. And I was, like, he is manic. Like, something is really wrong. So I was, like, comforting him. I'm, like, hey, like, are you okay? Let's sit down. Like, let's talk. What's going on? You can tell me anything, blah, blah, blah. And he just says, he looks at me barely for like 1 second. He goes, I can't do this anymore. And then I'm like, that's when my heart dropped. Cause I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I didn't say it like that because I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, you're like, you hate your job. Like, yeah, yeah. What anymore?
And so he's like, no, I can't do this. Like, I can't be married to you anymore. And then that's when I literally fell to my knees on the floor. It's hard to describe.
It makes me feel sick right now.
It's like, it was shock. Like, I literally went into 100% shock where I was like, this is not, it is associated again.
Yeah, you're like, well, this can't be real.
Let's mention like that one of like your most intrusive thoughts. Like, you have all these thoughts that your therapist is like, those will never happen. You're like, I'm scared like the people I love will leave me. And she's like, don't worry.
Well, that's the thing is actually that is what's helpful, though, is ERP. It's like they actually don't ever say that. It's like, no, maybe they do. Maybe they don't.
Yeah.
It's like you. That's what the point is. You have to live with the uncertainty. But normal, like not ERP, like OCD therapists are like that. They're like, yeah, but that's very not likely. Blah, blah, blah. Which, you know, it's not. But unfortunately, nowadays, it's getting more and more likely. So,
yeah.
So I dropped. I obviously was shook to my core. Like I can't even describe the feeling. It just was just a disgusting feeling. But the way he did it, the way he was acting, it just made it worse. It's not like we had worked on things. It just was like, it got hard and he left. Like that's, and that's not to like minimize his experience because I'm sure he was struggling in his own way, but that's not my problem to fix. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, there's only so much I can
like,
do.
Like that conversation in my head, I don't want to say should, because again, things just happen as they're supposed to happen, whatever.
Normally.
Or as they do. But it's like that conversation should have been like, I'm struggling so much. I can't do this how it's currently going. Yes. We need to like, can we do therapy this week? Like, I can't. You know what I mean?
It should be a longer, or normally it's a longer process.
Yes.
Yes.
It's like, okay, it's things not like are starting to crumble. Time. We're on the rocks. No. Let's take a break. Okay, now we're done.
Yeah.
It was like 0 to 100.
Yeah.
So shocking.
That's the thing. It was just shocking. It wasn't like, it was like we were going back and forth and I was like, okay, I made my decision.
Probably in your gut too was like, oh, he's not like, I'm just taking a break. He's like, we're done. Like, he's like, I'm.
There was a feeling that was like just pure loneliness, pure like, sicko. What the F is going on?
Like betrayal as well.
Yes, 100% betrayal. That is like the perfect word of how it felt for a long time. And so 10 minutes later, he was gone basically. So why after he said that, I was just like,
don't worry. Abby helped him pack. Abby held the door open for him.
Yeah, I literally don't know why I did that, but I don't regret it, honestly, because I don't want to say that's just who I am, but like that's.
It is.
I was still thinking about him. Like, I was like, he's not okay. He needs help. And so I didn't care that he just abandoned me like when I needed him most. Obviously, I didn't need him most because I'm so much better without him now looking back, but. Yeah, like I was begging for him not to leave. I'm like, you're literally just going to give up on a 2.5 year long marriage. Like, you're really just walking out. And gosh, reliving this is actually.
Sorry, so
like,
so
this
triggering.
Is horrifying. We're like, keep going.
Like, give us the tea.
Give us the
like,
juice.
Abby, stop crying. We want to hear. No, it's okay. It's, I think like, whenever you cry over things, it's therapeutic in a way. That's like,
yeah, it's good.
I'm going to have to, unfortunately, probably relive this a couple times in my life again. Not full blown. It's like, it's not, I don't have it. This is not going to give me lasting effects of being.
But yes, this podcast is very healing for everybody.
No, it's just like, I can just easily feel that girl that was like begging for her husband not to walk out on her. And the thing is I had a therapist appointment in like 10 minutes, like from when he left. So
perfect timing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally, he was still packing when I went on to my therapist call because I'm like, my husband just left me. And she was like, I'm okay.
Yeah. She's trying to keep cool. She's like, okay. Thought she was just saying that. Was it intrusive thought?
No.
Turns out she actually, it was her gut. Awesome.
Turns out intuition. Amazing.
Yeah, also my biggest fear. Yeah. That, I mean, that 10 minutes just looked like a blur. It was of.
How did he get all this stuff in 10 minutes?
He was already packing.
This man was packing like the speed of light.
What do you mean he was already packing?
Oh, I missed.
He had already packed
a big
prior
part of this. Yes.
So like, he was
came
fully
home from
planning
work early, and he had packed like half the stuff. He only had a couple of clothes. He had to grab his VR. He had to grab a bunch of really important things when he was saving his life.
Yeah, super important. The VR, he had to charge it days before.
Bye. Yeah.
He was legitimately asking me. Okay, actually, I'm going to get to this part because I forgot to mention this. But like a week and a half to, I think it was around 2 weeks before he left me that day, we just bought a car together, and he put it in. It was under my name, but he was asking to like, oh, we should put it under my name. And I was like, well, I have better credit. Like, you can't even use yours, whatever. And anyway, so it went under my name, but he was like freaking out about that. I'm like, why is it a big deal? Now looking back, I'm like, so you have been actually planning this for weeks and you didn't even tell me about it. Like, that's
because he was like, well, I need to have this car in my name because I don't want your name on it. If
that
I'm
is so disgusting. That's what I'm talking about, where it's like
the lack of communication.
Yes, there are two sides to every story, but you've got to communicate. Like, I mean, not that he's like, should communicate him leaving 2 weeks prior, but it's like, is just planning this because he wants to just like walk away from it and not have those uncomfortable conversations. It's like, come on.
Yeah, he's a king of not doing that.
Go off, king.
So I also was one that put the down payment on the car.
Amazing.
Like,
again, it's like even him letting you do that to me is disgusting.
No, it's things like that. Like, so many things started clicking in my head where I'm like, I cannot believe that he did that.
You're
to
taking
me.
Advantage of someone. Like, it's dishonest.
And he didn't even see it that way. Like, the thing is, like,
oh, I have so many things that I want to say, and I will hold back because of the podcast, but just know I have so many thoughts and little details that I'm just like no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we can go into the details. I just feel like it's hard to pack this into like an hour because I'm like, there's just so many like little small things that I keep remembering, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
But well, we need to get to
it's
the
already
good
been
part too.
Over an hour, by the way.
Oh, you're kidding.
Shiz.
So, I mean, it's fine. We love it. And now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. You know, we're talking a lot about mental health in this episode and therapy. So, you know, with your car, let's talk about your car. You would take such good care of your car, especially if you had to keep the same one your entire life. And that's how our brains work. So we got to treat them that same way. And a great way to help your mental health, your brain, if you're feeling overwhelmed, stressed, anything, is going to therapy and talking things out with a licensed professional. BetterHelp is online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat only therapy sessions. So you don't even have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to, if you're not in the mood. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy. You can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. And you also don't have to like sit in a waiting room and have like, you know, you have to drive somewhere, have the awkward waiting around, waiting until you can go into the therapy office. Like, it's very easy, concise, and can be done from the comfort of your own home, which I personally think is a great vibe, you know, especially if you're new to therapy and you're not wanting it to like take this massive part of your day. You just want something quick. It's awesome.
Therapy has helped me tremendously, and a lot of people I know personally, therapy has been like game-changing for them to help them with different areas of their life, whether it be family issues, whether it be sleep, you know, anxiety, depression, you're going through big life changes, anything like that. It's really important to reach out and ask for help if you need it. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/whatwesaid. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/whatwesaid. Go check it out. I love me a good mobile game, and that's why I'm going to tell you guys about Best Fiends, one of the sponsors of today's episode. Best Fiends is free to download, fun little game, and yes, it's Best Fiends. That's friends without the R. And they just have the cutest little animals. You play tons of levels. It's a little puzzle game, okay, that you can help nourish your brain maybe while you're on a flight, maybe while you're in the waiting room somewhere. Best Fiends is going to be your best friend.
You know, happiness doesn't always have to come from within. Sometimes it's fun to have a little external accomplishment, like getting to a certain level. You can literally get, I think I got to level 50 in one sitting. Like, you can go through the levels super fast. It's a great distraction. You know, some, we're talking about in this episode, sometimes you just need a happy little distraction in your life. I also like little like puzzle games and stuff on my phone for plane rides when you don't have access to internet. It's just kind of nice to have a little game. Once you download Best Fiends, you can play anywhere, which is great if you're stuck without Wi-Fi. Like I said, you can collect tons of fiends that get powered up as you play more levels. Every win brings new challenges, and there are thousands of puzzles to play. There are new in-game events that are added all the time. So, you know, if you're looking for some wholesome fun, go check it out. Download Best Fiends for free from the App Store or Google Play. Plus, earn even more with $5 worth of in-game rewards when you reach level 5, which is very easy. That's Friends Without the R, Best Fiends. Go check it out.
Well, we need to get to the Nancy Drew part of it all because that part is so
right, but
good
let me
too.
Finish the financial.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry.
Taking
like, anyway, like, yeah, he left.
Can I tell my story, please?
Classic sisters.
She's like, actually, get to the part where I'm in it.
Yeah.
I'm like, remember when I did that, Abby?
No, but at the same time, I paid for the car. I paid for his tax debt. I paid for his, no, I paid blah, off blah, his blah, school. Blah, blah.
And that comes into play later when he goes, this is a text that he sent me also. After we were, he already left and everything, just as a side note, when he was like, I thought we were a teammate paying me through school and now you're going to ask for it back. I'm like, I thought we were a team getting through anything together.
Yeah, I also thought we were a team.
Don't pull the team thing on me. That is like so hypocritical. That is, you're dumb.
Hold on. He said, oh, I have no words for this.
It's like, doesn't make sense.
He said, I can't believe you're asking because like she sent like
you can't understand it.
You can't understand him.
Don't ruminate.
She basically was saying all these things after the divorce, kind of like, or after the...
He left.
We were talking about settlement.
Yeah.
Is
like
when
paying
this came
back, because she's kind of like, can you pay me back for some of these things I paid for like a month ago?
When you
not
knew.
Years ago, like a month ago. Like okay. When you probably
not even a month ago.
Leaving.
2 weeks ago. Like two and a half weeks.
And he's like, wait, what? Like, why are you asking for that back? I thought we were a team, like paying me.
Trying to
school.
Make me feel bad?
Absolutely not. Wait, no. That boils my blood. Yeah. It's like, is he either dumb or the like... most manipulative person?
I think he's...
You think it's the first?
If his family's listening, but I'm not sorry. He's dumb.
You think it's
he
the first
dumb.
One?
He is dumb. Yeah, I genuinely do. Like...
He genuinely doesn't see a problem with that. He's like being serious. Like, why
I
just
think so. Unless he is a brilliant mastermind, I think he just does not like...
understand?
He does not think. Like, oh he doesn't gosh. Think.
No, it's actually shocking. He would say so many things to that. And honestly, like, I will say if anyone has been through something similar... I'm not like I didn't notice all things at the time. Like even when he texted me that, I'm like, oh, I kind of do feel bad. Like maybe, and then like Chelsea or someone would read it, and they'd be like, and they would point it out. I'm like, wait, what the actual? Oh my gosh, you're right. Like so, I'm just like,
fell for it.
It's okay if you kind of fall for it because that they don't have the same relationship with that person as you did. They were your actual spouse, like
right, they were your everything at one point. So it's like you just trust them, you love them. It's so
you don't
hard
think
to-
they're gonna do that to you,
right?
Okay, so here we get to the juicy part. So after he left, he packs. Also, this is what Chelsea said about helping him pack is, I was like, do you want me to, like, help, like, take the stuff to your car? Like, do you need any help, like, putting the stuff in your car? Because, again, he wasn't like, I want a divorce. He never said that. He was more just like, I just need, like, I don't know what I need. Like, I just need to go.
Okay.
And so I wasn't 100% sure if, like, he just needed space or, like, he was done. Like, he wanted a divorce. I needed him to say, I am done with the marriage. I want to get a divorce.
Right.
Because it's not a breakup. Like, he can't just be like, I can't do this anymore and leave and me be like, okay, bye. It's like,
yeah.
We are married. We have things under our names together.
Right.
I need to know if you want a
Did you ask
divorce.
Him that in that
I
conversation?
I was asking that, but he was not giving me a like a,
an answer.
An answer. He was just like, well, like he, it's like he couldn't say
I don't
it to
know,
my face.
I don't know.
But he could say it an hour later when he texted me and literally was like, this breaks my heart, but I just... can't be married to anymore. Like, I can't handle this. Like, oh, he says, I can't handle your mental illness.
Your mental illness is too much for me to handle.
Yeah, it's like...
You did this. It's like that. He was saying that. Like,
and the
he
thing
didn't take
is, it's frustrating it. Because I'm extremely understanding. So I'm like, at the time, I'm like, you know, I probably was too hard to be married to. Like, that's how I was thinking. And now that I look back, I'm like, it literally does not matter if I was depressed for an entire year. People
like,
still stick through that. Because
I
they
think
believe
that
in
was
partner.
Like the hardest thing, like for me and my mom too, like, and anybody who loves you, it's like when you're going through this and we see how like it's affecting you and you're starting to feel like, oh my gosh, my biggest fear is being a burden and feeling like crazy. And now I'm so crazy that my husband left me and said it's literally the only reason he said is because of your mental illness. So you're like, wow, I'm that crazy. And all the rest of us are like, no, you're not. Like, you are literally not a burden like that.
Yeah.
So we were just mad that he made you feel like that. That it was like, no, he's like doing that to you.
Doubling down on something that you're already feeling
insecure
about.
Yeah. No. So basically after that, he, yeah, I mean, I was calling him, I was texting him, I was like, hey, like, you, I need to know when if he was you driving, want a divorce.
Which, yeah, by the way, he was driving home, right? Like, he was going to his parents.
But that's what I, that's what he told state? Me, but I think he went to his aunt's house, which lived, like, which they lived in Arizona, which is where we were.
Okay.
And so he went to his aunt's house first, I think.
But that's where he was driving.
Like, I only know that because of timestamps on Tinder say it was in Phoenix or something. So.
Goodbye.
Yeah, he basically left in the middle of the day. Didn't talk to you.
And he left in the car that I literally just bought for us. Like,
packed up. No, it's
he was asking me where the VR was like a week and a half before. He had me fix the hood of the car because there's something wrong with it. So it's like, this is weeks before. So it's like,
it's literally premeditated. Yeah, it's so disgusting.
Seriously, that is, it's like creepy to me. Yes. That like, that's what he was thinking about when I'm like, I don't know, like trying to even like, I don't know if this is like too exclusive, but like trying to be intimate and stuff. It's like, that's what he was thinking. It just
no,
like,
that's
no.
So it's betrayal on the to the worst degree. Even even just like kissing you or doing anything. Yes. It's like while you're thinking those thoughts and you're planning that. No.
Yeah. It is. It's like, yeah. Looking back, I just feel bad for him. I mean, like, I feel bad for the girl that was getting abandoned, but I also just feel worse for him now looking back because I'm like, he just doesn't know how to do hard things and to stick with it. And like, if you go through something that hard and dark together and you get through it and you're better, you, we would have been more in love, we would have been closer, we would have been like, do you know what I mean? And it's like, that's just what like life is, and you have to go through that with your partner, and it's way more rewarding. It's like, you can't control. It was like he saw like my mental health as like his enemy, and like, or he saw me and my mental health as his enemy rather than us seeing mental health.
Yeah, where's
and
that?
Us
where's
saying,
that team energy now? Yeah. Yeah, I thought we were a team.
Yeah, it was like me against him rather than us against the problem.
Exactly,
like, and that's how I feel like he thought about it in his head. Anyway, so yeah, I was texting, calling, trying to figure out like.
No, he really just saw how you looked divorced. At BTS when we went to the concert. He's like, I'll never
live up.
He
knew there was. He saw me looking at Jungkook. He said, I can't live up to that. Oh gosh.
So he wasn't answering, right?
No, he wasn't answering. I obviously called my mom and I was like, left me, and like everyone was shocked. I felt like bad telling people because I was like,
shake their world.
Yes, exactly. Like this, oh, that reminds me of something else he said. He said in the text, in the breakup, high school breakup text, he said, I don't want anyone else to get involved with this.
Yeah, like, I don't want to talk to your family. Because we were like calling him, but like trying to figure out where Abby was when she wasn't answering for a little bit. Like,
and I was,
and
like,
he wouldn't answer.
I don't know if I have to say it's triggering, but I did go through like suicidal ideation, like
not that day, but like before that.
Before that. So it's like
your family's so worried selfish. In general.
Yes, yes. And so no one, like, I wasn't answering my phone because I was in shock. I jumped on my therapy call. I was just having her help me not like.
Yeah. So he leaves.
The
so this is also
scenario in this situation.
Another thing. It's like he leaves. My mom calls me. Abby just texted me. Now she's not answering her phone. She's not answering. Like,
yes.
After we've just been like, I'm freaking out. I'm literally like, literally freaking out trying to call Abby. She's not answering because I guess she's on her therapy call. But and so I try and call him to answer the phone and he's not answering. And I'm like, just have the decency. I don't care what happened. Just tell me she's okay.
Just like, that's the thing. At least man up and own it what you're doing, because he's still
he just
really
wanted to like get away with no repercussions.
Like be unscathed.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That's so annoying.
Well, and it's like, I don't want anyone to get involved. Like, let's just end. And it's like,
it's
no.
So selfish.
You live with my family. Like, yes other people are involved.
You would literally call my little brothers. Like, they're your own little brothers. You always want little brothers. It's like, that's not light to me. That's
no.
Like, that's everything to me. And you are just taking a poop on it. Like,
yes.
You're just like, oh, I don't want anyone. I'm like, of course you don't, because you are a villain in everyone's story in my family.
Yes.
And I'm sorry. That is the reality. I don't care if you're actually a villain. You were a villain to me and my family. And that's traumatic for not only me, but for
everyone
else. Like,
never go against the family.
And that's, and there are consequences to your actions, which he does not want to face.
No.
It would be too hard, you know?
So fast forward, that night I literally got no sleep. I would wake up every 10 minutes.
No,
because
you're also in the bed that you guys slept in together last night.
Well, I didn't sleep in that bed.
Oh,
there was no freaking way.
I'm like, I did hold his jacket and...
The closet was cleared out. He did not leave a thing.
When did he reply with that like divorce text where he's like, I can't be married
after
to you?
My mom called his mom. Everyone was calling his parents, calling him. Like, no one was answering. Like, the thing is, his parents, like, I feel betrayed by his whole family. It's not just him. It's like, they
abandoned.
In our, like, our religion and my religion, like you, when you get married to someone, you get sealed. And that just means, because we believe in an afterlife, so you're sealed to their family. Like they're your family for ever. You know, forever. And so I don't take that lightly, and that they were my family. And so that being ripped away from me and them not even caring to reach out, like his mom not reaching out to me or his dad not reaching out to me when their son literally cheated on me and like just did what he did to me and acts like everything's fine and we should just be friends and move on. It's like, no. That hurts me so much. Yeah. And they still haven't reached out. And I'm like, crazy to me. It's makes me sick.
And you have like nieces and nephews on that side too.
I'm understanding too. I don't need them to reach out and be like, our son is an idiot. We hate him. It's like, yeah. I just want you to be like, I'm so sorry about this. Like, and I hope you do well. We love you. We cared about you.
Bare minimum. Bar is on the ground.
Yes. Yeah, bar is below ground.
I'm not shocked that like, I mean, I'm being honest. Like this is, I'm not trying to be mean to his family, but if that's how his family acts in these kind of situations, I don't want to be a part of that family anyways. I don't want them to be around my kids if they can't handle hard things. Like
totally.
They can't have hard conversations. They can't send a text that's empathetic to someone. It's like, I am a person. I'm not just his ex-wife. Like,
yeah,
totally. His crazy anxiety ex-wife. Yeah. Like, that's so annoying. Anyways, so I'm like,
can we get to the Nancy Drew part?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, there's just so much to unpack. But yeah, the whole night, obviously, like he just sent one text after we were calling, we weren't getting a reply. And it was almost like I was annoying for asking. That's how the text made me feel, is like
all right, fine. Let me shut you up. Like, yep, we're no longer. Yes,
like I was so annoying and the thing is, it's not like I called him 50 times. I called him twice.
No, Abby was being so like, okay. She was being so mature about everything. If this had happened to me, I would be like a flamethrower. Like I would be calling a million times. Like nonstop texting, like literally tracking his location, following him, like, because that's such a huge deal. And Abby like was just taking it so maturely and like calling him like just periodically to be like, okay, like I just want to make sure he's okay. Like was that's actually still like caring about him.
I thought he looked manic when he left. Right. And so I texted his mom and I was like, hey, you don't have to talk to me about anything right now, but I just want to know that he is okay, because I don't know where he is. I don't know what's going on. He is still my husband. And
you're worried.
Can you just tell me when he gets home and that he's okay? And she just sent him text saying he is safe with a heart. I just was like, okay, thanks. Like, I don't know what the heart means. I try to read into it. I'm like, is she saying I'm sorry? Is that her way of saying I'm sorry for my son's actions? Or like, it just was like a weird thing. But that's basically all I got from him for a couple days, is that text. And then I immediately flew to Chelsea and Nick's place.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to hold case, you know? And no, but Chelsea is like, obviously my only sister. And like, I just didn't want to do that with anyone else but her. So like, and I'm like, I don't want to burden anyone else but her during that time of my life.
I'm here to be the sugar daddy and to be the shoulder to cry on and the wrath.
We flew. Like, I think it was the next morning. I got no sleep. I'd wake up and I would just cry and be in shock all over again. Like, I was freezing cold because I was just literally in shock. And I'd wake up and be like, this is not real. This is not my life. Like, what is going on?
So it's like a bad dream.
Yeah, it's horrible. And then I just remember getting off the plane and then seeing Chelsea and just being like, this is real. And then everything just came back. And then I remember we were sobbing. And then it was just like, I think Nick got me flowers or something. You guys picked up flowers. I'm like, why did, like, it was the small things that people did that I was like, oh, people actually still love me. Like, I'm still lovable. And again, this is like one of those plane rides where you see people in the airport and they're sobbing. And you're like, this is not a fun plane ride. Or like, this is not a fun departure or arrival. Like, they're going through it. And so many people would just like pat my back, or they'd be like, you know, I don't know what's going on, but it's okay. In the airport. And it just like, dude, at times in your life where you feel so dark, that is so helpful. Like,
that just shows you like there's good in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. But this guy sits next to me and I'm like literally crying in a corner. Like, I cannot control it. I'm like, I literally don't care how crazy I look. This is a horrible
day. I feel like everyone has one of those like airplane rides in their life where they're just like, sorry.
Unconsolable. Like, I do not care if I'm crying, getting snot all over the handle that we're sharing. I don't care. But he literally, like, you know how they give you napkins for, like, the cups?
Yeah.
He sees that I'm crying, and I'm like, I have, like, the snot. And it's, like, the snot, like, tissue that's, like, you know when you use it too much? Yes. It's, like, literally.
Literally disintegrating.
Yeah, it's disintegrating. And he just taps his shoulder, and then he hands me the napkin.
Starts like, sobbing
his
more.
Napkin. I'm like, I literally was like, thank you. And I, like, just started crying more because I'm like, it's just those things I, like, still hold on to. I'm like, that was just like,
yeah,
you just, people don't have to do that, and they do, and it's just like, that was, that meant everything to me. Like, I'm gonna find him and thank him.
No, literally.
BBG girls, they can do it.
Yeah,
me sobbing the most about the napkin.
Abby's like, he left me stone cold.
He's handed me a napkin.
He abandoned me in my tummy. Jason's like, man, okay. I'm like, he handed me a napkin. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. The no, sweetest.
But it's always the smallest thing.
Yeah. And it's just with strangers, but I'm like, cool. And a stranger is nicer to me than my husband. Cool.
Okay. Anyways, so we went back basically to Chelsea's place. And then from then that point on, I think honestly, the most helpful thing I will say, like, if you know someone that is, hopefully not going through something similar, but it happens all the time. So, like, it was so helpful that Chelsea, I think Chelsea is, like, so, she is just someone I want to be with because she's very emotionally aware and she's not, I mean, obviously you're biased a little bit, but, yeah. Like,
at, very biased.
But it's, sure. Like, you didn't have to control the situation for me. You were, like, I'll follow your lead. And that was, like,
yeah, I was, like, if you
want to. That was everything. I'm, like, that is all I want. I'm, like, I don't want you to trash him because I still, obviously he's my husband still and I don't even really know what's going on. But at the same time, all of a sudden I'd be like, I'm gonna burn his house down. Like, and she was like, I'll follow your lead, whatever you do. Like, well, I'll go with it. And
I know. So, I was like, if you want to go, like, just literally distract from your feelings all day, like, we can go have the funnest day ever, or we can, like, sit on the couch and cry. And I was like, kind of like, oh, if this was me, I'd probably just, like, go distract and, like, you know, want to go to the beach or, like, just do fun things all day. And Abby's like, honestly, like, today I probably just want to, like, be with my emotions. And I'm like, oh, when you're so emotionally mature. Me and Nick are like, let's go.
I guess like, you might watch a bunch of BTS videos or something. I'm like,
hey. Literally escapism. But I will say, like, you handled it so well. Me and Nick would always be like, she is handling this so well. And not like, oh, maybe she just didn't love him. Like, she's just handling it so maturely. Yeah. It was, you were handling your emotions so well. You were handling your sadness. Like, you were allowing yourself to be, like, so sad. And, like, you would talk through it. Like, you know, if something came up, you would talk through it, cry. And then 5 minutes later, you'd be like, okay, like, you just, when you let the emotion come up and you actually give it space to be felt, It goes away much faster. And so we were like watching you kind of, again, like go through these waves of like, okay, I feel fine. Let's, you know, go on a walk, or like, okay, I feel really, really sad. Like, I just kind of want to be alone or something like that. It was like so inspiring.
Yeah, it was a crazy roller coaster. Like, I, you know, when I was on the call with my therapist immediately after, like, this thing. You guys, this is the thing. When my husband left, like, that day, because like I said, I literally jumped on my therapy call when he was still finishing packing, and he peeked his head into the door of, like, when I was having my therapy, and he's like, "Okay, I'm leaving. Love you. Bye." Like,
off to work.
He was off to work.
So casual.
Yeah, and so I'm like, no wonder I was so confused when he left. I'm like, what is going on?
You're like, okay, that's not the way you are gonna, like, because you never saw him again, right?
No, until I FaceTimed him, but it was like a 2-second conversation.
Well, and still, not even in person. Yeah. So it's like, that is legitimately, that was your last time saying
I woke up and it was like goodbye, you know, for work. And then, like, a couple hours later, that's what happened.
Spooky vibes.
Spooky.
We should invite him on for a Halloween episode.
Honestly.
He's the spookiest man I've ever heard of.
Literally.
Oh, yeah. And so that was, like, it's hard to describe the amount of ups and downs that I had, but. It was just like something just
processing.
Took over. Yeah, it was a
it
crazy
was so
processing.
Weird to like it was so weird. No, it was just so interesting to watch someone process something like grief like that. Like where it was like, and it's like while you want to just be like, it'll be better. Like me and Nick kept to each other being like, it's going to be okay. Like like trying to tell ourselves like, you know, so she's going to be so much better for it. But you want to tell them that because you don't want them to be hurting. You want to, like, fix it for them automatically.
You just want
to
go away.
Yeah, like, you just have to let people, like, feel things. And it sucks. Like, especially when you can't
do anything.
I'm like, it was much harder for me than it was for you.
Like, I had a really hard time when I came over.
Like, is this the part where I get to talk about it?
Anyways, well, I've had a rough couple months.
Let's get into the Tinder and stuff.
Yeah.
Because.
So. Yeah, after a couple days of, like, processing, I still haven't really heard anything from him. I remember Nick came in and he was like, well, like, have you checked his, can you get into his Gmail account?
Because he hadn't talked to her. He hadn't said, like, he was even necessarily. We just knew he was safe. And so Nick was like, well, you know, you can, like, check his location if you have his, like, email.
Yeah.
That
came in handy because I would have never told me that he was talking to other girls online.
ever. I just don't believe that, because even when I confronted him about it, he denied it until I showed him proof. And then he was like, yeah, I'm so sorry. Like, and then later on when I talked to him, like a couple days later, he was even like, I didn't cheat on you. I'm like, that's just because you didn't have sex with anyone. And also, how am I supposed to believe you? Because yeah. you lied to me about literally a billion things.
Right.
So like you could have, and I can't believe anything that you say. So don't try to make me feel dumb for not believing you after you've lied to me 1,000
yes.
times.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm not stupid.
No.
So yeah, basically, it was kind of all a blur. I just really got into my Nancy Drew.
We went full detective skills. FBI agent mode and somehow got into his email, got into,
yeah,
which so wasn't hard, by the way.
This is, no, he has the same password. I would say it online, but I don't want to say it,
yeah.
But I do. You could probably still hack into his Tinder. It probably is the same password. But I think this is a series of hacking that we did. We got into his Gmail. From his Gmail, we got into, he had two Yahoo.
Allegedly, emails. We did this.
Allegedly. It's fine. The judges, he'll sign the divorce papers. Yeah, we got into his Gmail. Also, his Gmail's already pulled up in my laptop. The thing, he would use my laptop for school, so it was very easy to get into that email. So I'm like,
you don't have
dumb.
To.
If you're going to cheat, at least be smart. So it's like, yeah. Ooh, you know, cool cheater. Don't be like a dumb cheater.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got into his email. From there, I got into
Instagram.
From there, I got into his Yahoo email. And then from his, because that's one that he used. I knew he used that the most. From there, I got into his Facebook. From Facebook, I got into his Instagram. From Instagram, I got into his Tinder. And also from Facebook, I got into his Bumble. And so.
But also, weren't there like emails that were like, you signed up for Bumble?
That's kind of hard. That's how we knew. Yeah. Because. We saw like on, I just saw on the 20th is when he left that looked like the
morning.
Well,
we had like this moment of like, we got into his email and we were like, okay, this is the moment we can like find.
Guys, because my heart was pounding so fast.
Yes, because we're like, all of us were like, there's got to be something.
He just I was left also out like, there's nowhere. No way he cheated. There's no way. Because you just don't think you're going to get cheated on. Because it's like, that happens to other people. That's not going to happen to me.
Yeah. So we like scroll down and all of a sudden we see like, something from Bumble.
Oh, makes me feel sick when it's like, and we're you like, have four new matches on Tinder.
Yeah, it was like, welcome to Bumble or something. And me and Abby were like, and no. Abby goes, no, that must be an old notification. And we're like, okay, we click on it and we scroll down. Abby. And it's like, thank you for activating Bumble. You have four new matches. And we were like,
which to clarify, that means he was swiping. That's the thing. Yes. It's like,
you were already swiping.
The thing swiping. It's like, ew.
And yeah. That was days before he left you.
And there's obviously a date on the email and it was Monday. And he left on Wednesday.
Yeah, it was on the 18th. I don't remember if it was Tinder or Bumble that he downloaded on the 18th, but
he downloaded both.
No, it was Tinder on the 18th. Yeah. I remember because he was actually in Utah, or he was with his friends and family in another state. Can I say like where he like in Utah? Am I allowed to say in that? Utah?
Well, yeah. You could say whatever you want.
Yeah, I'm like his address is no, but he was in Utah with his family and his friends and. Later, he was like, yeah, I mean, I'm just like, it wasn't my fault. My friends downloaded Tinder.
You have the worst friends in the world.
That means you're so stupid because even if your friends had downloaded it, you don't have to go along with it. You are a man. You can make your own free
decisions.
And that
means you're telling them.
And that means you're telling your friends that you're leaving your wife before you even told your wife that you are like seriously considering leaving me.
Thinking about it. Like yes. He thinks that that's
a boy.
Like, yeah, no, he thinks that that's teenager. Getting. He thinks that makes him look better and it makes him look so much worse. It's like, oh, so you just. Go with the wind, whatever your friends do. You're like, oh, yep, I have to do that. Now I have to be swiping. Oh, my friends made me.
Yes.
Like, okay, so you don't have a backbone?
Yeah,
it's even
exactly.
more embarrassing.
No, and I don't know what he told his family. Like, I just have no idea at this point. But, yeah, so that allowed me to definitely see that he did cheat, which kind of took me a second to process. But we do have a picture of me processing that JC did took.
I did take for us. I did capture the moment. Hashtag JC Marie Photography.
We have a hilarious video we're going to post on our story because we were still doing detective work. JC came over and we were like going through all these things, like reading all these things and like finding out the days that he had downloaded them.
Yes.
And we literally have on video the moment we found out he was like messaging girls.
Before he
cheated.
Which either way, it's like even if he left you on the 20th and then downloaded it, either
still,
way,
still
you're still married, dude. And you told her four
it's
hours
no,
prior.
There is no respect for like
no
it, our whole marriage.
Well, and he's like, and it's like, oh, I didn't cheat. I didn't. That's not cheating. It's like. And also, you could have waited a while and not been considered a cheater. But
you had
literally,
to do it.
You had to do it.
You had no self-control.
Honestly, I'm glad now because I can call him a cheater. It's easier for me to process emotionally.
He had no self-control. It's like, also, can I say one of the most, like, other disturbing things to me? And we could take this out if you want, Abby. But he legitimately messaged like how many girls?
Like probably 25, 30.
Even more, I would say.
Yeah, like, that's true. It was like 7 pages.
It was like maybe 50. He messaged them the same effing message that he messaged to Abby the first time that they met.
Which just makes me think that when he messaged me, he messaged like 100 other girls the same thing and I just happened to reply. I'm an idiot.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, that's his little like catchphrase. Can we say what it is?
Yeah, it's marry me with a ring emoji.
Which is worse because he was married.
He just left his, yeah.
So he left her 4 hours prior and is literally messaging 50 girls, marry me, marry me, marry me, marry me. And some of them are replying, like, okay, haha. And you're just like reading the messages.
Yes, I read every single one.
It is so disgusting. Like, this man, it's like no respect for himself, for you, for the fact that he is still married. He had just legitimately an hour before been like, again, texted you and said, I can't be married anymore. It's just so bizarre.
No, it is. Like, it doesn't make sense. I just can't believe. It's honestly, it was hard for me to believe that people can actually do that kind of thing to someone. And I like, realistically looking at it, this is my empathetic understanding side, but I'm like, I know that he was struggling in that moment of trying to fill a void. Clearly. Yeah. Yes. But that does not give an excuse, because I just would have never done that. And he can say, well, you know, you don't know, because I'm like, no, I do know. Like, because I just.
You're not that kind of person.
I'm not that kind of person. I would process things. I would have gone to get help before. Like, I do know I didn't.
So that's how I know that I wouldn't, is because I didn't.
Yeah. And he would say things like, I was so empathetic and that's why I couldn't handle it. I'm like, no. That's actually apathy, because apathy is where you're like, I shouldn't have to feel these things. I'm out.
Wait. He was saying himself, he is too empathetic to be married to you.
Yes. Because it was too hard for him to see her like that.
That is the opposite of empathy. Empathy is like
being with you in that moment.
That is like the one thing empathy is. It's like wanting to put yourself in someone else's shoes so that they're not alone. That's the opposite of what you did. So
also, sorry.
No, that's okay. I don't remember what I was going to say.
I was going to say, also, Abby, while we went to bed, me and Nick went to bed, we're like, are you okay? She's like, yeah, I'm fine. She stayed up on her laptop and added his. So he had an Instagram with all of their married like photos and stuff. And like literally in the bio, it says Abby like with a wedding ring. And he had deleted it. He had deactivated it. And like
his Instagram account.
So he can make his Tinder and it wouldn't go back.
Yeah, so he had to make his Tinder so people wouldn't find him on Instagram and see that he still literally has a wife. So Abby went back and reactivated his Instagram because she has his email. It's very easy to do. She reactivated that account and linked it to his Tinder profile so that if girls would go to his Tinder profile, they would click on his Instagram and see that he was like literally married.
Good.
Yeah, I was really tempted to message some of the girls, but I'm like, I don't even have time for that. I'm already tired.
Trying to heal and also get revenge at the same time.
I know.
So that's the only thing I did that like felt petty, where I'm like, I don't need to do that, but it kind of felt good. I do not regret it, because then he deleted it. And then, like, he deleted that Tinder and then...
Made a new one 2 seconds.
The funny thing is, he deleted that Tinder and then I eventually got him to be able to call me and I made him FaceTime me. So he had to look me in the face when I just basically just told him everything that he did to me and told him I knew he cheated, told him I knew all these things. He never, like, he was only sorry that he got caught because he didn't apologize before. He only apologized after I showed him proof. Like, it's like the apology that every apology he ever gave me felt so insincere because he didn't acknowledge the pain that he put me through. It's like he couldn't handle that he did that. But it's like, you did do that. And that doesn't mean that you are stuck being this horrible person.
Yeah, in order for you to move on.
To me in this situation. In this moment. That's how it is.
You have to take accountability. Like, for your
own sake. Like, for his own sake to move on and be happy. Like, he has to, like, understand what he went, like, what he did and take accountability. Otherwise, you'll never be happy. If you don't take accountability and you don't take, like, responsibility for things that you did, you'll never be happy.
No, you're going to be chained down.
You're going to be running for the rest of your life.
Yeah. So that's based. I mean, was there anything else in the sense of, like, what we discovered on his? There was one thing.
What?
He did pay for Tinder Premium.
That's the biggest ick of all time.
So the day before he left, he paid $25.
The day before he
left.
He pays for Tinder Premium. The biggest ick of
And he told me it was a mistake or like it was an accident. And I'm like, that gives me like, again, like, just don't lie. Like, I'm understanding if you told me you had a horribly low moment and you regret it and you feel dumb. I'm like, I just want him to move on. I want him to be happy genuinely still. I do. But it's like, dude, I can't help you anymore if you won't even take responsibility.
No, yeah. And if you keep lying about everything.
And now you're at a point, like, since it's been a couple months, like, you're at a point now where you guys are, what would you, like, label, like, even, your relationship with him now? It's like kind of just like friends, or are you guys like,
it's kind of just business, like, you know, with the divorce and stuff, it's like back and forth. But you guys have, like, hey, can you pick this up? Can you do this? It's,
yeah, like, you've had like some conversations, like you've had a little bit of closure from him, but right, like you've had, yeah, you've been able
closure
to at
in
least
the sense
talk to
of
him.
Talking to him, but not like in the sense of where I really felt like he acknowledged what he did, and he acted like we were never close. It's just like all of these things that it's like, he's just not being transparent with me. And I'm, that's all, that's how I feel close to someone, is when they're just dropping all walls and they're really letting me in. And yeah, I don't judge people. Like, I genuinely am like, I forgave him actually very quickly. Like, where I'm like, I understand that it was too hard for you. I don't agree with what you did. I think it was wrong. I think you will regret it for the rest of your life, in the sense of, I mean, not that I don't think he's ever going to be happy again, but in the sense of
just,
like,
of how he went about,
yes,
it.
And, like, and it's a embarrassing. Big regret.
Yeah.
But
for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to do a part two someday about, like, because I feel like we didn't get into, obviously, like, how
the
you've
healing,
been healing,
yeah,
since and stuff. But unfortunately,
it's
we've been talking
been negative.
For, yeah,
literally.
Yeah. We got the tea in this episode. I mean, how would you say, let's just end with, like, how are you feeling?
Hope.
Yeah, yeah, hope. Like, how are you feeling in this moment right now?
I feel very free, in the sense of, I no longer, like, I don't fully understand why what happened. And I don't think I will ever understand why he did what he did. And I'm at peace with that, where I am at peace with, like, the craziness of it. I am very, I would say I feel like I'm on the latter end of healing, in the sense of being able to not feel damaged in every second of
every
day of my life. But I can still feel, like, fully transparent. Like, I can still feel my abandonment issues now. I can still feel my trust issues. Like, even, like, if I make new friends or something, I can already feel like they're just going to leave. You know, I'm going to not be cool one day, or I'm going to, like, be, I don't know, say something dumb
them,
or too,
yeah,
much, and then they're going to leave because I'm too much for them to handle. Like, that is going
still
to
a
be
fear.
A problem,
yeah,
for me for a while. And, like, that's what I am actually okay with, though, because that's actually, like, my therapist is saying, that's very logical. You can be mad and forgiving. You can be sad and happy. Like, you can be a million things at once, mm-hmm, and nothing's wrong or right. It's just kind of how you react to them. And, you know, so things don't come up as often, though. Like, I don't have to process things a million times a day. It's like every once in a while thoughts will come, and I'll understand that they're stemming from, obviously, that experience in my,
yeah,
life.
Yeah, totally.
And that might happen.
You're right.
For
it's like
years.
Your brain's just working at how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, it's actually,
like,
being logical.
Yeah, it's like taking your history, analyzing it, you know, moving it towards the future. So it's like you can't really blame it.
No, and there's, I believe that there's a reason for it. And I, you know, I don't want someone now that will make me feel like a burden for just existing and not even being able to control what happens to me. Like, I can't control what happened to me. And so I don't want someone who's going to shame me or make me feel like I have to hurry up and be perfect in order to be loved. It's like, that's how he made me feel. And I just believe that there's someone out there. And even if, you know, that might be a billion years down the road, I'm 100% being happy, being single and being present with myself and, like, reworking on, you know, the parts of me that are damaged and that come up. And I'm just taking it day by day.
Yeah. I feel like they're just,
you're doing
so
great, sweetie.
Yes, you're doing amazing. And I think there are just so many good things down in the pipeline. Like,
yeah,
this will be a blessing at some point. Already is, but I feel, mm-hmm, like in the future it'll be even more of a blessing. And you're just gonna meet someone who you're like, oh my gosh, like, you get me. And it's,
yeah,
gonna be so great. But again, we don't even need to, like, focus on that, because you're just, like, perfect, you know,
yeah,
as you are,
yeah,
and you're whole right now. You don't need someone to fill,
yeah,
a void.
Like, but you'll be whole again once you find another, yeah, guy.
Yeah. But once you do, I'm just saying it'll,
yeah,
feel so much more, like, gratifying and rewarding, because,
yes,
it's like, oh my gosh, I've waited for this, you know? And,
yeah,
it'll be so worth it.
Yeah, if I was happy before, and that's the kind of marriage that I had, not that it wasn't like a toxic marriage, it was a very normal,
mm-hmm,
marriage, but I'm like, if I have something better waiting for me and I was happy with that, I'll be so much happier with this next thing. So
exactly.
Like,
you were whole before you met him even.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm,
It'll all work out.
Feel very, very hopeful. So unfortunately, if anyone's going through this, I'm sorry, but, like, it has been for my benefit somehow. And even though that honestly ticks me off,
it's been
off
for my benefit.
But
I got you to move by me. So
yeah, we got tea for the podcast. Oh, this is great.
Lots of content. We're like, we know, we prayed for a good story to tell on the podcast. And the next day,
nice and juicy. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on and sharing your story.
Thank you for opening up.
We need to, like I said, we should have another episode soon about.
We can have like an advice, like a breakup advice or something.
Yeah. And I honestly do think, unfortunately, that getting divorced young, we always talk about this, like, especially not to say when you get married young, it's going to happen, but it does. It is more frequent, mm-hmm. you know, in these, like you said, you even have a friend who's going through a divorce. Like, I think it's. We've had people write in and be like, I'm 20. Yeah, I'm 24. Like, I just got divorced. And like, it's this whole different experience than maybe when you get divorced when you're 40. You know, it's just a different thing. So we can maybe dive into that like at a different time.
I'd love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's thank you, Abby.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Make sure you guys go follow our podcast. It's at What We Said Podcast. I didn't mention this at the beginning, which I really should have, but we're having a live show and it's on August 15th. And just go to our Instagram for all the details. If there's still tickets available, we'll have them linked in the show notes. But thank you guys so much for listening. We love you. And
that's what we said.
Bye.